In the 5 years since January 6th, there has been a widespread fight over the story of that day. Congressional correspondent Lisa Desjardins was inside the U.S. Capitol and witnessed the storming firsthand. She has this look at the half-decade battle over the narrative.
In the crowd storming the Capitol on January 6th, an unlikely character, an Idaho grandmother, has become one of the most well-known.
I was hoping we'd storm the Capitol.
That's the voice of Pam Hemphill. You can see her in security camera photos of the crowd and inside the Capitol. Prosecutors said she egged on rioters.
You just come in.
Just days earlier, Hemphill posted on Facebook about the rally, "The fight for America is real." In a photo, she posed with a gun and the caption, "On my way to Washington, January 6th. Now she sees all that as part of a lie.
The brainwashing that happens to you, that the Democrats want to turn this into a communist nation. They would always say the same thing. Pam, don't listen to Democrats, whatever you do. They'll lie to you about everything. So you start believing all that. I got pulled into all the propaganda.
But 5 years out, the battle still rages about January 6th, with recent comments like these from some on the right.
Most people in America are still buying the lie that, like, oh, January 6th was a terrible thing. Trump supporters did some bad stuff. No.
You remember what we were told about January 6th, that it was an insurrection, the worst attack ever on our sacred democracy.
And last January 6th, Georgia Republican Congressman Mike Collins said thousands of peaceful grandmothers gathered in Washington, D.C. to take a self-guided, albeit unauthorized, tour of the U.S. Capitol building. Hemphill was that grandmother, part of the mob, recording everything she saw. Marching up the street, clashes with police, climbing the steps of the East Front, and walking through the halls of the Capitol.
There were a lot of people who, as we've gotten farther from January 6th, have said things including, it wasn't violent, no one broke the law. What did you actually see compared to what people are saying?
We know they're delusional. Of course it was violent. They all had the attitude, it's our house. We can do what we want. We own it. You know, this arrogant, violent attitude.
The video is indisputable. More than 140 police officers were seriously injured on January 6th. There were brutal battles on the steps and in the center of the Capitol. Yes, some rioters followed the mob and mostly walked around, but even they, and I spoke with them, were there for an illegal takeover of the Capitol itself. Initially, some Republicans saw the event as a reckoning.
There's no question, none, that President Trump is practically and morally responsible for provoking the events of the day.
This is January 6th.
But in the years since, President Trump personally has worked to recast January 6th, pardoning nearly all involved, including many who assaulted police, creating a narrative that they were patriots for believing his lie about the election.
We freed the people. They were treated so badly. The people from January 6th, who were largely, and there's always exceptions, but largely great patriots for this country.
And Republican leaders now look the other way.
Everybody can describe this however they want. If you could, you would argue that those people didn't pay a heavy penalty, having been incarcerated and all of that. That's up to you. But the president's made a decision. We move forward.
I think it's as dangerous as any narrative we've ever had. I think
Denver Riggleman was a Republican member of Congress until 3 days before the storming of the Capitol. A former Air Force intelligence officer, Riggleman later served as a staff member on the January 6th committee and wrote a book, The Breach, uncovering and detailing what happened.
I would say 30 to 35% of the population who believe the election was stolen. I think they will always be that, like that. And I really think at this point, people like me who are based in data and facts and who are an expert on January 6th, we're trying to reach a smaller and smaller percentage of the population to make them see what happened that day. It was a multi-pronged attack of disinformation, radicalization, and violence to overturn the election.
Why do you think so many Republicans support this idea that it wasn't that bad, however you want to cast that?
Because they want to win elections. I mean, there's a reason they're having hearings on space aliens rather than looking at what happened that day or acknowledging what happened that day. Plus, they're looking at fundraising and polling in their districts. Trump is probably still over 70 to 75% in more of the Republican-based districts. It's simply that.
Publicly, Republicans in Congress dispute this. They say their view of January 6th is about gathering facts. And last year, House Republicans did launch a new subcommittee to investigate it. But privately, many Republicans admit to me that January 6th is something they see as a historic threat.
Today at the Capitol, Democratic lawmakers who were there spoke to what they saw.
If I close my eyes, I can still hear the thundering sound of the mob and the pounding of the door of the House chamber. I can still feel the sense of sheer terror as we struggle to fit on our gas masks and crawl on our knees towards the only open door at the opposite end of the gallery.
But Republican Riggleman worries that too many are still ignoring the worst truths of January 6th.
What you're saying is that they want to look to the future. The issue is that the past is an incredible indicator of what can happen in the future. And if we're not looking at elections in 2026 and 28 and what could happen based on these faulty belief systems or that violence can't happen again, you better damn well be looking at it.
This is not a minor example of political violence in American history. It's the major one, I would say, after the Civil War itself. How that's going to play out over the long term, I think, is very much still being contested.
Stephanie McCurry is a history professor at Columbia University. She says clashing versions of U.S. history aren't uncommon, like narratives about the Reconstruction era of the late 1800s and the actions of the Ku Klux Klan.
When I think about that as a kind of cautionary moment for what we're in now, the thing I worry the most about is how I saw that Klan narrative offered as a raw partisan position in defense of an incredibly violent racist organization. And then I saw it emerge in film and in written scholarly history. The Klan version became the history of Reconstruction. That narrative took hold until the Civil Rights Movement displaced it.
But McCurry sees something distinct with January 6th.
I think we're in a dangerous moment because we have never seen a case before, I think, where one side of the contested narrative is being propagated by the president and who has made it a loyalty test for his regime.
Which brings us back to the pardons Trump issued for those who stormed the Capitol, largely in his name. Of the more than 1,500 people whom he pardoned, Pam Hemphill rejected the offer.
I would not be a part of that. No way. You'd be a slap in the face of the Capitol Police, that's for sure. The rule of law. But I broke the law. You don't pardon somebody that breaks the law.
She has gone from MAGA revered to MAGA reviled. On social media, Pam now pushes back at Proud Boy leaders who dispute January 6th. Some family have disowned her, but the memory of that day and her sense of responsibility have not changed.
And I spent 2 months in prison over Trump's lies that the election had been stolen. I've been a little angry, you know, that this has even happened. Hopefully some other people will just maybe listen to my story and say, look, she's right. I got to do some research. And not just listen to what I'm hearing in media and on Twitter. And it's part of my amends. It's one thing to say you're sorry for being there, but you have to do the footwork to prove it.
Today, Hemphill returned to Capitol Hill, testifying alongside Winston Pangeon, a former Capitol Police officer who defended the building 5 years ago.
I was called a traitor, violently assaulted in the line of duty, punched in the face, pepper sprayed, and thought, I'm going to die here. On the steps of the U.S. Capitol.
Hemphill addressed Pangeon directly.
I am truly sorry from the bottom of my heart for being part of the mob that put you and so many officers in danger.